It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Final Cut Day. 4 o'clock is when final cuts happen. Elliot with us through the deadline. Then we will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman at 4:15. Elliot, we have news.
Yeah, so the cuts will be out in a few minutes, but we do know one more cut now. According to Mike Garofalo, they are cutting Avery Williams, who they signed to potentially be a kicker punt returner. They signed him relatively early in free agency, but didn't do much in training camp, didn't do much in the game, so was expected to be released. But
let me ask you this. With Anaya Smith getting cut,
yeah,
who's going to return kicks?
So there's a couple options here. They could sign somebody after cuts, put them on the practice squad, promote them for a few weeks. But if not, on the roster, I mean, they had John Mechie lined up there a little bit since they got him in practice, but it could just be Cooper DeJean again, which I don't like. He'll be playing every single snap on defense, and then to put him out there on special teams seems risky to me.
He's also not that good at returning kicks. He makes me nervous returning kicks.
I disagree. I think he's risky, to your point. Like, he does try to be a playmaker, but I think he's solid at it.
Okay. And also, I don't, your second best cornerback, you don't want out there returning kicks.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you think he's a game breaker. Unless you think he's going to get you three touchdowns.
Not just second best cornerback, a top four most important player on the defense, top three.
Right. I mean, maybe their best safety.
Yeah, he might be their best at three different positions.
Right. 215-592-9494. Ike in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP.
What's up, y'all?
What's up, Ike?
What up, Ike?
Ain't nothing. Yo, first of all, this Bryce thing is blowing my mind, man, because I'll be thinking, like, people are way out of control with this hate right now. And this is the first time I ever had to call to defend Bryce, because he's been the golden boy for years, so I'm a little surprised. So here's the one thing. First of all, Bryce is the main reason for the success of this period of time. And I understand he can get criticized. That's fine, but I think it's going overboard, because the reason I say he's the main reason, not only his play, but he was instrumental in getting JT to be here. He was instrumental in getting Trey here. So he had a big role in the success that they've been having. But another reason, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm listening to people say stuff like, oh, he's distracted because of what he's wearing. I'm sitting like, who puts on their clothes and be thinking about it while they're working?
Him,
like,
me.
Can I
tell you, though, Ike?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
How do you know this?
Well, because he had these designed to wear, and then he talked about wearing them. I mean, this is my problem. Like, it's part of the issue. And again, his play, ultimately, number one problem last night, if you're going to repeatedly say you're one of the best players in baseball, if you're going to be the best player on Phillies, if we're going to talk about the Mount Rushmore of Phillies and even bring up Bryce Harper's name in the most important series of the year, you can't have that game. That's the first thing.
Right.
But hold on. The second thing, you ask who is thinking about putting their stuff on. Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper had stuff made specifically to wear against the Mets. That's who is thinking about putting their stuff on. Him.
What I said, Spike, I said who thinks about it when they're actually working. That's what I'm talking about, because distraction, I don't think he's thinking about it in pregame. I don't think he's thinking about it while he's up at bat. And I'm going to use an example. It's times I hear y'all talk about, you know, your hats and stuff that y'all wear and this, that, and the third, but that don't stop y'all from performing and being the number one show.
Dude, how silly. Ike, imagine you tuned into YouTube. Other Ike, Southwest Philly Ike. Imagine you tuned into YouTube, you saw me wearing a hat, and it was a competing radio station.
I'd be like, yo, you drawing. But I laugh. I ain't going to think
but
too
it's
much
stupid.
Of it.
Because what do you think Ike would think?
What Ike said made the point. Like, yo, he sit there and he's doing his job. That's what you worried about.
No,
I'm not worried about what he wear. I'm worried about what he do. And y'all fear to criticize that he, because I was mad with the rundown. I was mad, and to make the point, Elliot, I'm sorry, I know I'm rapping a lot, but I'm just
going to make
the point.
It's okay.
Elliot, you talk about he had the biggest play because he struck out, but it's funny how the bases was loaded and Trey messed up, and I heard you say it, Spike. Trey didn't get a hit, And Schwarber, I think, hit into like a runner's out.
So, like, I agree with you. I agree with you that other players made mistakes that led to the loss. Obviously, Christopher Sanchez wasn't great, right?
Yes.
But to what you exactly just said at the beginning of your call, if Bryce is going to be labeled the reason they've had this success and be the best player, then his at-bats just matter more. Like, when he has those chances, they matter more.
I got no issues with that. Like I said, it's fine. Yo, it's cool to criticize because he's not playing the best this year. And that's fine, but... The clothes, I always be killing me, man. Because I'm be honest with you, because you know I heard my man Rios talk about where he grew up from, and just to let you know, I know Mike Vick might have did something, but for real, there's a baseball field up there that Ryan Howard built.
No, for sure, no doubt.
In Honey Park, played ball up in there. That's not my hood, but I've been up there. Ryan Howard built the park, so I'm just saying that. Well, but all I'm saying is, like, yo. The things like come to North Philly and this.
Well, yeah. Look. All right, yeah.
Rios was strong.
Yeah, Rios was strong. I'll defend what I said. Well, what I would say, thank you for the call. Is that I appreciate it. Is that if I showed up here, I consider myself. Look, we're all a team. Mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as a leader, as a person. If I showed up here at WIP for the show wearing a hat of a competing radio station. Forget whether I could do my job well or enough because of where we were in the hat. You're telling me the other people on the staff wouldn't think, well, if Spike's going to get away with it.
Well, and also to Jack.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it would not, it would be silly. I would feel ridiculous doing that.
But to Jack's point, and by the way, it's 4:02, so we're waiting on the final cuts to come out.
Yes, we're waiting on final cuts.
But let's say he showed up to the game last night with a shirt that said, like, the division's ours, right? And then he was awesome. We would talk about that for years. It would be, so if you're, and I know it's different than the cleats. But if you're going to do something intentionally with your clothes to make a statement, the downside of that is if it goes poorly, then you're going to get ripped for that.
Oh, for sure.
If it goes well, it becomes legendary.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I have no problem with that. My whole thing is that at some point, are we over-criticizing
it? Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Well, That's all I'm saying. And not you. I think you've done a good job
of
being there and being harsh. But... Elliot, I know you well.
Well, right. Bryce is Elliot's team.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. This is you. And this is where I get caught up because I'm a fan of both. Even with Embiid, I'm a fan of all three.
Right.
But you do this thing where you're like, Jalen gets all this criticism, so I'm going to be hard on Bryce.
Correct. Yeah.
But disarmed me.
But to the clothes thing, I think it's just a larger picture for me of he's just not been great this year.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I know
fine.
The stats.
And that's fine. No,
and
that's
so,
fine.
So it's like not the final straw thing, but it just highlights to me that he's not been special this year.
Yeah.
Is really what, yeah.
By the way, a quick thing on the Instagram. One thing not shocking and one shocking. So a caller mentioned that Bryce Harper posted on his Instagram the rivalry pack, the four from Under Armour or whatever, and the comments are turned off. And it's the only one of his posts where the comments are turned off. Mm-hmm. I also noticed I am blocked from that account on Instagram.
No!
No, I'm just kidding. I'm
okay,
lying.
Wow.
I'm the second thing
I'm
lying
say,
about.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, you sold that well, the look in
you
your
did.
Eyes.
I was like, what? I'm about to run to the account and see
same,
if I'm blocked.
Yeah.
Dude, I always
do. Won't be blocked.
I always tell Val, my wife, I always tell my wife, I was like, I'm a good liar. I was like, she's like, you shouldn't brag about that. I said, you should
I'm
feel
the worst good. Liar.
You should feel good that I'm not lying to you. Do we have the final
nope,
cut
still
yet?
Still not out.
Okay.
So.
We do have a cut, though.
What? Oh, yes. Oh, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask you guys, based on last night's game, if the Phillies were going to DFA one player, who do we think that player would be?
Bryce Harper.
Well, no. For real, though.
Well, Jordan Romano.
Yes. Elliot,
Jordan
what do you
Romano.
Think? And if I told you they DFA'd somebody and it was a pitcher, how
oh God,
sure?
They didn't DFA
how,
Romano.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you, they DFA'd a pitcher.
Right.
What would you think the percentage that there would be Jordan Romano would be?
100%.
High. Yeah.
It's not.
I knew it wasn't. Yeah. Who
it's
is
Joe
it?
Ross, who, by the way, had to go in there for mop-up duty and take one, like, for the team, by the way, in the ninth inning.
Right.
Because he was getting hit around, but like that, you know, somebody had to finish off the game and it was going to be Joe Ross.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Now, stubborn. I will say the PSAC legend is in the Phillies bullpen now. Local kid, Lou Trevino.
Okay.
So they brought him up. Now, what's interesting is that both Daniel Robert and Lou Trevino are in New York. There's only been one announced cut. Is Romano the next one?
Oh, okay. So they're going to do it to Romano too.
Maybe. But maybe not. It could be another someone. Maybe they send someone else down. I have no idea.
Who could they send?
That's where my confusion gets in.
Okay, so there's not going to be another pitcher.
Because Weston Wilson's in the lineup, so it's not going to be Weston Wilson. Both of them being there is very, very weird.
I throw this out with Bryce.
Who is it? Okay.
Why did Bryce change the gloves to green? Orange. They're blue on here.
Oh, on the Instagram post?
Yeah.
Oh, because he wanted to be more Metsy.
Right.
I'm saying
he could have got away with this without the orange gloves.
100%. He didn't want to get away with it. He wanted everyone to know.
He wanted you to know. Yeah,
it's
anyway.
A rivalry pack.
It reminds me a little bit of when Nick put on the Beat Dallas shirt when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, somewhat well-intentioned. I think Nick's is better, but it did not go well. In terms of like highlighting a rivalry and all that.
Nick Sirianni?
Sirianni. Okay. He wore a Beat Dallas shirt and then they got smoked.
And no.
Right.
Yeah.
No, this isn't. Boy, that was his rookie year, man. That was.
Dude, that was before it.
I was hard on Nick his rookie year, man.
Can you believe he's still here?
Yeah.
What if I had told you his rookie year, in 5 years, not only will Nick Sirianni be here, because if I asked you if he'd be here and I asked you percentages, you'd probably say, 20% chance he's still here in 5 years?
Yeah.
Certainly
wouldn't have thought he had the success that he's had.
Not only will Nick Sirianni be here in 5 years, he will have been to 2 Super Bowls and won one.
Yeah. Be on a Hall of Fame track.
Yeah.
Yeah, would not have seen this. I do remember the beat that. Boy, that was a. Remember me and Marks? We were, man, I was like, no, dude, you do not do this.
Well, remember, someone threw flowers at him after the. He had the whole, like, the roots are growing thing,
yes.
And then they lost to the Raiders. And someone threw flowers at
him. I defended him for that. Yeah. I thought that was over the line.
I agree. Throwing something. Yeah, for sure.
That was over the line.
Small interesting note as we wait for the Eagles to put the roster out. Britton Covey, you were mentioning who could be a punt returner. He was cut by the Rams.
Okay.
Covey's a punt returner.
Punt returner.
We already got the punt returner. Yes.
No.
Yes.
We don't want him to get hurt.
Yes. This is football, Spike.
He's going to pull a hammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's new football.
We're going to win the Heisman.
Cooper's going to win the Heisman?
Yep.
So, a little Jordan Romano update.
Romano, sorry.
According to Scott Lauber, he does not have a locker room. A locker.
All right. So he's gone. They're going to cut him. All right. Well, coming up next, we will get you the final cuts and we will bring you Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni talking about the final cuts. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Don't go anywhere. In moments, we will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman to discuss the final 53-man roster. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Have you ever gotten a ticket for jaywalking? 3.6% say yes.
Really?
I have not gotten a jaywalking ticket.
I've never gotten. I think I did in college once.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't leave the bar. You know how they tell you they try to get everybody to leave?
Yeah.
So then it becomes... Oh, grab him. He's walking across the middle of the street impeding traffic. Yeah, so give him a jaywalking ticket.
Yeah, I think
one of those things.
Cops got bigger problems nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're on a college campus, though. That's all they got.
Yes, absolutely.
Jaywalking ticket.
So we do have the final cuts. Anything interesting, Elliot?
Not really. So all the
way to sell it.
No,
Elliot.
I know. Yes, all the final cuts are out.
This is going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
Don't move.
I'm gonna read all 19 names you've never heard.
You
of.
You wouldn't believe who got cut.
All right. So the one interesting thing is they did cut the long snapper, Charlie Hewlett. My guess is he is going to be put back on practice squad, elevated. And he will snap week 1. But outside of that, Kenyon Green was cut. We knew that from yesterday. Anaya Smith was cut. 5th-round pick last year, which is interesting. Again, the bottom of the roster is not that good. So Darius Cooper made the team. So that's interesting.
There we go.
Thank God.
Keely Ringo on the team. Cam Williams, the tackle that I thought would make it, did make the team. So I'm happy about that. I got 51 out of 53 on my prediction.
Oh,
wow. So
you're going to win the beat writer competition?
I feel pretty good about it.
There you go.
Who'd you get wrong?
Who are the two you got wrong?
Antoine Powell Ryland and Kenyon Green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? This is, it popped into my head last segment when we were talking about something. Which game would you give the Eagles a better chance of winning? Like, let's say they're going into Team X. Forget about who the team is. Mm. One Eagles team has Tanner McKee and has the full complement of receivers. Mm-hmm. The other team has Jalen Hurts, but does not have A.J. Brown. Which team do you think has a better chance of winning the game?
So it's basically the same situation except no AJ for Jalen.
No AJ for Jalen, but Tanner McKee has everybody.
I think Jalen.
What do you think?
Yeah, Jalen.
They've been pretty bad. Now, they were 2-0 without Jalen last year.
Yeah.
They've been pretty bad with no AJ.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I guess I'm thinking more about the quarterbacks where I think Jalen brings so much more than Tanner McKee does.
For sure.
But yeah, the loss of AJ hurts.
Yeah. It's pretty big. Pretty big one.
We focus on Devontae.
Yes.
Well, John Dotson, the MVP of training camp.
No, Darius Cooper ends up being our number one.
Who was the MVP? I thought Jahan Dotson was the MVP of training camp.
He was really good, for sure. Yeah. Actually, a few more notes here. Okay. So, Oboe Okoronkwo, who I know not been said on this air, but had a really good camp, he did make the team. So, I'm surprised by that.
What position does he play?
He's an edge.
Okay.
So, interesting they kept him, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Trevor Keegan did make the team. He didn't have a great camp, but...
He was a second year?
Yeah. He's
Michigan?
Like a guard. Yeah.
Michigan? Yeah.
Yep.
How about that? Football guy, remember? Mm-hmm. We will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman as soon as they go live. 215-592-9494. Tony and Kennett Square, you're on WIP. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. I had a great time at the draft on Friday, so I wanted to call in and say thank you to WIP for having that.
The afternoon show Fantasy Football League draft.
Which team are you, Tony?
I'm player haters ball.
Okay. There you go.
So you had the outfit on.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, he had the green outfit on.
Yeah, he took that off about, what, round 8?
Yeah.
Round 14.
All right.
That thing was so hot. Oh, my God.
Now, we haven't gone over the teams yet because our commissioner is suffering from illness right now, Buzz.
He's using that as an excuse?
Well,
he's at his house.
Well, we got to have him in here, right? Commissioner Buzz.
He can't upload rosters?
Well,
they weren't due by 4 o'clock today?
No, he uploaded them.
Okay.
I mean, discuss it on air.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, is there any controversy here as to who should be commissioner?
Uh-oh.
Buzz versus Morgenstein because of how fast the Morgenstein draft went?
Yeah, well, I would hate to add any more on Morgenstein's plate.
After today?
A little tight.
Yes.
Earlier today.
He was.
But
that's the tightest I've ever seen Morgenstein.
Obviously.
Yeah, I noticed that too, actually, when he came in.
Yes, yeah.
Way more competent than Buzz.
Oh, yes. It's not even close.
I wish I had more time to socialize with everybody, but we started the draft at like 6 o'clock on the dot, and then everybody was in full concentration mode.
Yeah.
So,
well, bro,
joking around.
Yeah,
there's no time for laugh.
Yeah, like we just got finished work. We got to get right into the draft. Yeah. You feel good about your team, Tony? You feel good about your team?
Yeah, I feel great about my team. I think me and Dustin and Fritz clearly had the three best teams. I had one pick that I messed up because I couldn't see the board and didn't know who was there.
Mm.
So I just panically auto-picked my fourth round pick, basically.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm happy with my team. I got everybody at their current ADP or below their ADP, so I'm very happy about that.
I care about that.
Mr. Dork guy.
Nobody care about none of that.
Let me tell you, bro,
You stole Genty from me and Sutton from me, so I'm kind of upset about that. But other than that, it was
you can have the rest of my roster, though, if you wanted, like the bottom part of it. Those last five picks, I don't know what the hell I was doing. Goodness gracious.
You were doing a lot of studying, taking a lot of time to make a pick, is what I remember. All right, Tony. Appreciate you, buddy. Looking forward to kicking your ass this year.
Right.
So as we in moments, I think now Elliot mentioned this is it took a long time for the Eagles to send out
normal,
their roster,
which is surprising. It does seem like Howie and Nick are going to speak relatively soon.
Okay, yeah. We will have that in moments.
Yeah,
don't change that dial.
Don't change that. I was going to go to Herb, but you can't.
Absolutely not.
you can't.
You crazy?
Chris in Richmond, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I agree with you that it felt bigger than one game. It just was like flashbacks to the playoffs last year, like the early game one specifically, like early lead versus the Mets, and then huge inning got away. And that's as big as like a regular season game can be, like playoff rematch, just almost September. So it's just real frustrating. I was like, why am I so upset watching this last night? But then that's like I was like, oh, that's why. It's like,
well,
it's a big moment.
The reason you're upset is this is the first time this year that we have felt like a series actually matters. You know, like it is a long baseball season, and you look forward to series like this because I actually, when I was, I felt the same way in the game. I was nervous when the game started. And I think it's the first time I felt that way for a Phillies game this year. It was the good kind of nerves. I was excited for the game. And yeah, they when they were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position at a certain point in the game last night. And that's why when Trey and Kyle Schwarber and then Bryce Harper all came up with two men on and we didn't get anybody home. Like that, it is a flashback to last year. Because when you have a chance, and Senga was begging to get taken out of the game at that point. When you have a chance to get the starter out, bust the game open, and you don't do it, you end up paying for it, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and last thing, like the rundown was annoying, and then also the Bryce, like, orange gloves thing. It's like his play isn't, like, good enough to keep the spotlight on, so he's like, oh, what can I do to, like, stay attention? Like, attention on me, I want attention. So he's like, let me do orange gloves. But I love Bryce, but it's, like, getting kind of old.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, part of why...
Certainly is seeking attention.
Yeah, I mean, part of why yeah. he is mentioned in a group with a bunch of players that he is not as good as anymore is because he has star power, is because he does things like that. He is a really good player. He is not a top 10-ish player, but I think if you asked a casual person to name baseball players, Bryce Harper's on that list, and part of it is because of who he is.
Yeah, and you know, to back him up a little bit, I do think the Bedlam at the Bank home run in the World Series is part of it as well. It was a few years ago, but the postseason success does, I think, still matter a lot when talking about Bryce.
We will get to Nick and Howie in 1 minute after I tell you about something that, look, replacing your windows and doors takes longer than a minute. Right? You go to Guida, it's going to take a couple of days to get them in there. But it will be a decision that truly changes your life and your family's life for the next couple of decades. You're going to have a more comfortable house. Your energy bills are going to go down. And you're going to feel better that you finally did it. Guida is the place to do it. There is a reason Guida has replace windows and doors for thousands of families in the Delaware Valley. It's because they're just good at it. Right now, not only are they great at it, they're going to give you 40% off every single window. Every energy efficient, triple pane, expertly installed window, 40% off. Every door, sliding patio door. I got a new sliding patio door. Sliding patio door is kind of nice. Never actually had one before, but it's pretty nice. 40% off that, 40% off your entry door, 40% off your garage door. Buy now, pay later, so no money down when you start your project, and up to 18 months to pay it off with no interest whatsoever. Don't screw this up and wait till after August and miss this sale. All prior sales are excluded. Call them today at 877-GO-GUIDA. Get your free no-obligation in-home estimate or at 877-GO-GUIDA or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. I do think Bryce likes the spotlight. Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
And I do like that about him
sure,
for what it's
yes,
worth. It's
absolutely.
Just it backfires in moments like last night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 215-592-9494. Rodney in South Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Rodney?
Hey. Quickly, let's first give a shout out to Jack for doing what he did today and making sure he ran properly. He should have lapped him twice.
Well, lapping somebody twice in a 400. By the way,
he wasn't moving that fast.
I think a less than 400 meter race would have been tough. Yeah. But Jack, you know what? I think I was smart. I think Jack was smart. He saw he had the big lead. He made sure he kept the lead. He didn't want to get hurt.
I was thinking about tripping the last. Yeah. The last like stretch there.
Could you imagine if you had tripped?
Oh my God. Well, yeah, I could have.
Would have been the greatest moment in WIP history.
Even when I did a little turnaround, I was like, this is a little cocky.
Oh, you yeah. The finish line?
You went viral.
Yeah.
All press is good press.
Maybe, that's right.
Maybe if I wore a morning show attire like yeah, Bryce did last night.
Some lime green shoes or yeah. something.
But anyway, Bryce, you know what? The man, it doesn't care what the man wears. First of all, I thought he was a fashionista. That did not go with anything last night.
Yeah, it didn't match. Yeah,
at all.
That was the most ugly. That's what I looked at. I was like, what the heck? He got on. But he should have waited a different time to do it. Maybe the Mets come here. I don't know if they come back here or not. But
they do.
It's just crazy that he did it. But you worry about what his production is in the game, and his production that he's getting criticized for is what he should be criticized for, his production, not what he was wearing. That doesn't matter. You wore ugly uniforms before, and you played well.
Yeah.
In them. So, you know, the uniform doesn't matter. It's what he's doing outside of the uniform that's getting him to be so controversial.
Now that I think about it, only ugly uniform I had was like my second year State. I didn't like that design of the uniform. No. It was bad.
What if you had, let me ask you this, what if you had gone into a game against Michigan wearing Michigan colors?
I would have got the hell beat out of me. Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't have let me off the bus or on the field. Yeah. Yeah,
but is your rivalry back?
What? Oh, Nick and Howie now?
Yeah.
They've started to talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here are, we think so, in just 1 second, we will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman. Here they are.
This is the toughest day of the year for us. You start your season and you're letting guys go that you've brought into the building that you care about as people. Obviously, you've selected them as players. So I want to start by thanking all the players that we had as we opened camp, the effort and energy they brought to us. And obviously, you know, we hope to get as many of them back as possible now. We always keeping the door open, as you guys have seen, bringing guys back who we've brought in here. Great group, great people, and obviously tough day. And as we go through it here and go have a conversation with each and every one of them, Coach and I sit down with each and every one of them and have conversations. And although it's hard, just really appreciate the opportunity to do that with all those guys.
Coach, it's really the same thing, how hard it is on you and your staff with these guys every day. And you know, just talk about how hard it is.
First of all, you build relationships. That's the whole thing we're in this for the, in the, it's why we're here in the first place, right? To help guys achieve their dreams, achieve their goals. I think that's the reason I got into coaching. And so you build those relationships with guys, and then you have to let how many?
Was 37.
Yeah, then you have to let 37 of them walk, which is always hard. And I try not to.
38.
Yeah.
I
so
saw them second guessing me.
Yeah. So you know, it is. It's always, you know, you build the relationships. You work on that from day one of OTAs all the way until we are right now. But I don't for a second like. Yeah, we have to do, Howie and I have to do that 38 times, which is hard. But I don't ever let myself think, man, it's going to be a lot more hard on that guy than it is for me. So I don't want to play the victim here at all on that, because I know, you know, they're the ones going through that and it's going to be a lot harder on them. But it's not an easy thing, and for all those reasons that I said. And, you know, everyone has a role on this football team. Everyone has contributed to this football team to date. And some guys you continue on with and some guys you don't. And that's just the nature of this, unfortunately. But appreciate all their contributions to helping us get to where we are right now and be ready for this season.
Why'd you trade for Sam Howell?
You know, we remarked this is probably the only press conference we also do all year that is actually a 50-50 split. We traded for Sam Howell. We know the player really well. Spent a lot of time on him coming out. Ironically, I think the only college Thursday night game I've gone to in the last 10 years was Pitt, North Carolina, and we ended up getting both those quarterbacks, which is ironic, like I said. So we had done a lot of work with him on him coming out, saw him firsthand as a starter with Washington. Obviously, he had tremendous success in those games, had a lot of appreciation for him as a player and his talent level and the person that he was, spending time with him. You know, so a guy who's always on our radar, and just felt like for our team right now, the hardest part for us is trying to balance the development of players, the development of young players who we like, and doing whatever we can to go out and defend our title and to put the best team forward here for Dallas and going forward. So I think everything we're doing with those parallel paths and trying to figure out where we can get away with developing some guys that we think can help us in the future and where we can help the team in the short term and make sure that we are covered. And so in this instance, just felt like Sam had a lot of value for our team right now. That doesn't say we don't like our young quarterbacks who are here, that you know, we don't have great hope and promise for those guys, and we'll just see what happens in the next 24 hours. where we go about getting some of these guys back, but just felt like it was the right thing to do here for the short term to make this trade and bring Sam in.
How about the trade for Fred, and why not just sign him when he was here in the offseason?
Bless you. Yeah, I think that's a simple, you know, I think from our perspective to just go, why not sign him? There's also, in his mind, you know, he understands that we have two all-pro level offensive tackles. You know, he's in a stage in his career where he played really well and he was looking for an opportunity. So, you know, just because we didn't sign him doesn't mean we weren't trying to sign him. And I think for him, he was looking to see what he could do somewhere else because of the situation that we had. And when the opportunity arose to bring him back, we jumped at it. You know, just someone that we feel really good about having here. You know, that offensive tackle position, just like the quarterback position, you can never have too many of those guys that can come in and play for you over the course of a season. You know, we're trying to play, you know, a lot of games here. And so over the course of those games, you're going to need guys to step up in backup roles. And Fred's shown he can do it at a championship level. And so just was really excited to bring him back.
I was specifically with McCord and both of you, specifically with Colin McCord. Did you see qualities that, you know, make you look forward to trying to develop him if you can get him back?
Yeah, I think he had, you know, did some good things and promising things through camp. Obviously, we liked him enough to draft him onto this football team. And, you know, I always battle that myself of like, how much opportunity can you give, you know, your threes? And so, you know, he shows good promise of where to go with the football consistently. And again, we're looking at everything, right? Practices, meetings, games, all the things. You know, he has the ability to be accurate, and he does a lot of good things. And so my job as the coach is to try to provide them opportunities to be able to continue to develop, and always thinking about how we can do that with our young players. We got a great front office as far as in our development of players. We have great coaches to help develop players. And just that's what I'm always thinking about with those. Like, how do we get a more opportunity? How do we do different things with them? And that's not just Kyle. That's all our, you know, threes and or practice squad guys of that sort.
You ended training camp with a nuclear starter at cornerback at Popsa, Quinion Mitchell. You added Jacorian. What lessons did you learn from just what you were evaluating in-house at the start of the year in Keeley and how that dictates how you go about the offseason?
I don't understand the question. What lessons did we learn about Keeley?
I mean, what did you see in Keeley? Where was the drop off from what you expected was going to come out of him and how you handled?
Yeah, I don't know. In terms of a clear cut starter, I think that we got a bunch of good players at the corner position. And so I don't think that's necessarily a weakness on this football team. I think that, you know, we start by having an outside corner in Quinion, who we think is ready to take another jump, and an unbelievable player. We have another corner in Cooper DeJean, who we think, again, one of the best young corners in the league. And so feel very fortunate to start that position there, you know. And I think that sometimes we look at weaknesses in terms of strength. You know, I've been here a long time. To have two young corners like that, that's a position of strength. And then we have a lot of guys at that position who are young, who have a lot of talent in their body. You know, I'm excited about the corners that we have on this football team. So, you know, I kind of look at it a different way. When you look at those guys, they have different skill sets. They have different strengths. You talk about Keeley. I mean, Keeley is big. He's fast. He's strong. Keeley has shown that he's one of the best special teams players in this league, which I think is a huge thing for our football team. So I probably take it a little bit differently about that position. I think that that's a position that we have strength in numbers there, and I'm looking forward to seeing those guys play against Dallas.
With Darius Cooper, what's the backstory on how you guys were able to identify him, and what do you see as his potential?
Go ahead.
You want to?
As far as his potential, I think one thing I think about him is he has this ability. Not everybody has an ability to win one-on-one. And I think he's shown that through camp, that he has tools in his body to be able to win one-on-one. He's big, he's strong, he's quick. My take on receivers always, you know, is the best guys are have good body quickness and good play strength. And he has those things. Now, and the other thing I think he's tough, right? Because we know, you know, we're gonna try to get the ball to AJ, we're gonna try to get the ball to Devontae, we're gonna try to get the ball to Dallas, we're gonna try to get the ball to Saquon in the passing game. And so some guys have to come up a different way, right? They have to come up with, you know, doing some of the dirty work. And I think that, you know, this guy is a really strong football player who can do some of the dirty work stuff for us. As far as our blocking, as far as special teams, as far as, you know, he's got good speed to be able to clear things out. And really, when you have a guy like that, there's opportunities for him as well in the pass game that mesh off of some of those things. And so I'm looking forward to watching him continue to develop. Aaron has done a really good job with him. Kevin's done a really good job with him of helping him develop. You know, and I think he's got some tools in his body to continue to develop. And so really excited, just really always appreciative of Howie and his staff of bringing in these guys. Like we've had a lot of free agents make this football team in the past, you know, 4 years since I've been here. You know, Reed Blankenship comes to mind, Ben Van Sumeren. You know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I could go Brenton Covey, Eli Ricks. I mean, so they've done just such a good job, obviously, Howie and his staff in the draft. But what I think gets overlooked sometimes is, you know, the work that happens after the draft. And then also to the coaches that are helping these guys develop, right? You bring in the right guys that have tools, and you bring in the right guys that love this game of football, that are tough. Those guys have a tendency to reach their ceiling. And you know, I pride ourselves in that. I'm not hiring any coaches that can't help these guys develop fundamentally. And we got a lot of good coaches on the staff too. So it's just a good combination to have. And I think Darius has benefited from that, and he'll continue to get better.
One more on quarterback. Did Tanner's injury and the short-term potential need, did that affect your thinking at that position?
We would have made the trade for Sam Howell regardless of any situation with our first two quarterbacks. We just thought it was an opportunity to improve in the short term quarterback position, which, you know, is obviously a hugely important position. And just for us, having those three guys again as we start the season, the opportunity to have those guys with the experience that they have in that room, just we felt like it was in the best interest of the team for this season.
Going back to Darius Cooper, what was your first time seeing him, and how did you guys find him?
Yeah, a lot of credit to our scouting staff. You know, when we talk about the draft and the draft picks and the front board, there's a lot of voices here, myself, coach, are a big part of the front board, and our senior staff when we talk about it, our assistant GMs, our vice president of player personnel. So really we give our scouts, our area scouts a chance to put their names on free agents and go get those guys. And you know, our area guys did a great job. Cam did an unbelievable job. I think, you know, Phil was a big part of that too. And you just watch him, and you see, obviously, you know, he's not playing in the SEC, you know, but you see that he's got talent. And when he came in here, just seeing how big and strong he is, I mean, we sat with him today, and he's sitting there in shorts and a T-shirt, and you're looking at him, and you're going, this guy has so much developmental qualities for us, and what a great kid. So obviously it starts now. You know, we tell all these guys, there's no scholarships in the NFL. They got to keep earning it. But he's done everything up to this point to earn the opportunity.
Howie, now that you have your final question.
What do you like about the defensive line as far as, like, the depth at edge rusher, and also a defensive tackle? I mean, two guys you kept were Gabe Paul and Byron Young. What did you like about those guys?
Well, two very different guys, you know, Gabe Hall and Byron Young, and Gabe Hall's another credit to our developmental program. You know, this is a guy that we followed who, if he probably would have came out after his junior year, would have been a second day pick. We got him as a free agent last year, and our guys went to work on him because he's got tools in his body. This is a big, long, athletic defensive tackle, and really spent last year on the practice squad developing those qualities. And, you know, think about some of the trades we made here. You know, two of the trades we made with Thomas Booker and DK were guys that we developed, you know, here with our developmental program. And, you know, that's the success of those. Obviously, we'll miss those guys, wish them all. But this is another example of that in Gabe Hall. And then Byron was an SEC player at Alabama, who we knew really well coming out of the draft, third-round pick of the Raiders. We claimed him last year. He's heavy-handed, really strong ability to really block, destruct, and you know, I think for that's always a skill set that we're looking for in defensive linemen. You talk about the rest of that group, and we drafted Ty Robinson in the fourth round. And again, you know, rookies, they keep developing. You know, you're not looking for those guys. You're not expecting those guys to be fully developed when you get them. That's what we get them here for, and get in the NFL and develop them and see what their strengths and weaknesses are, and see what they can do in their first year. You know, some guys in their first year were fortunate. They played at a really high level. Other guys, it takes a minute for them to develop. And then our top three guys, you know, we're very, very, very excited about our top three guys in that room. JC, Jordan, Morrow, those guys all look primed to have a great year. Incredible confidence in those guys at the defensive tackle position. And then you go out on the edge and you talk about Nolan and Jalix, you know, starting there. Those guys, really tremendous competitors, tools in their body. We saw what they can do in the playoff run last year. Really believe in those guys. And we brought in Josh, we brought in Aziz, we brought in O. And obviously we got Pat as well here. And just, again, I think some of these positions we look at, like, we got solid players across the board. We have tremendous confidence in those guys, and there's different ways to do it. You know, sometimes you do it with stars and you go down from that, but we feel like there's really good players in that D-line room across the board.
If I could follow up on, specifically, obviously we talk about a lot of the guys that just make the roster, mm-hmm. roster or don't to stay, but you mentioned Carter. How does his presence and the future that you have with him conceivably affect how you've constructed the rest of that defensive line? He's out there for almost every play.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen's shown how dominating he can be as a player. And when you have that guy, and when offensive linemen are sliding to that guy, it creates opportunities for the guys playing next to him. You got to account for him. If you're going to block him one-on-one, he's got a great chance to win those matchups. I mean, he's that kind of player, and he's a special player. And where Jordan is and Jomo, I mean, you guys are out of camp every day. You see those guys. They're in the best shape of their life. I mean, they look prime for a big year, and they're physically dominant as well. And so when you start with those guys, and then what they do for you out on the edge, because you got to pay attention to those inside guys, because quickest way to the quarterback is a straight line, you know. And so I think for us, you've seen it. You've been here a long time, Jeff. You've seen that over the last decade, and probably even a little bit more, the resources we put into our interior defensive line, you know, it is a huge part of our team building, and feel like that is a chance to be a real strength for this team.
How do you feel about the roster you're handing to him, especially given what the plan was back in I guess March?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say we're not done here. We're not done. You know, we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. You know, I think I said this the last time we spoke. We got a lot of picks here, and we're happy to use those picks in the draft. But I think for us, the early part of the season, September, we got to see what we have, you know. And if we need something, I'll do whatever I can to help this football team and be aggressive. And Jeffrey gives me that opportunity to do that. And so, you know, I don't think that we're done. I don't think this is necessarily, you know, this is a work in progress.
Not giving me the keys quite yet.
Yeah, not yet, not yet. No, he's going to drive. He's going to drive, but we're going to continue sitting together. But, you know, I think that's where we got to be. And I would say this, you know, obviously last year was a great year. And throughout the year, we're trying to improve the team, you know. And I think that even after the trade deadline, you're sitting there and you're going, hey, is there anything else we can do? You know, is there things that we can continue to do? So I don't sit here, no matter what the year is, no matter what the time of the year is, and feel content with what we're doing. And just we'll continue to look for opportunities, and I promise when I leave here, I will go back upstairs, and we will be looking for opportunities tonight, tomorrow, and we'll continue to look through them, you know, every day here until we stop playing, and then we'll take a couple day break, and then we'll keep looking for guys.
Howie, what made you want to go get John Metchie? What did you like about him coming out of Alabama, and how do you see his fit?
Yeah, I liked a lot of things about his tape at Alabama. You know, Coach and I, when we were watching him, I went back and watched his Alabama tape too. He's a natural separator. He can play inside and out. He's really good at the top of the route. He's a really good route runner. He's got really good hands. Tremendous character. And I think that, you know, again, when I think about that receiver room, just really excited about that receiver room. And, you know, we'll see what we even get here in the next 24 hours as we go forward to kind of complete it. Because, again, we think of the roster 1 through 70, and we're not done completing that. So getting him, and, again, you guys are out every day. You see Dotson, and you see how comfortable he looks and how excited we are about him in the second year, and having him over the off season, he's a really good player. And so overall, just excited about that room.
As far as you mentioned Okoronkwo and Patrick Johnson.
Good, great pronunciation.
That was great. A plus. Practice. But yeah, you mentioned those two guys. What did you like about O, his traits? And was there anything really maybe that separated him from Patrick and maybe others vying for that same spot?
Con cough, so you can answer the question.
We're big fans of Pat Johnson. And
Okay, all right. Coughgate, you weren't in on Coughgate?
Well, it's just like
they're talking about Patrick Johnson.
Yeah,
that's a Super Bowl champ.
Dude, I think. See, what I'm thinking is all the beat writers probably not going to talk to Howie for a while. Probably not going to talk to Nick for a while. They have so many columns they got to write over the next week and a half. It's like, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
The only interesting thing there that Howie said that seems like a lie to me is that he said they would have traded for Sam Howell whether Tanner McKee was hurt or not. So all that means, if that's true, then it means they don't think Kyle McCord is any good at all.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's being honest, you know, I don't think he's being honest, but that was the only thing that stuck out to me. Okay, we still have the top 5 of 5 to go. Jack, what do we have to expect in the top 5 of 5 today?
People at WIP who are back.
And it's about him.
Yeah.
There one. It is. Well, that's not to give one away. Okay. But I gotta be honest. We've done a lot with the Phillies radio booth and TV booth.
Yep. Yeah.
He's back in a big way.
Okay.
Unbelievable cut last night.
Okay. All right. So coming up in the top 5 of 5, the top 5 people at WIP who are back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.